Okay, well, this is the introductory lesson. We're going to go through it and see what happens, and find out what we're going to learn here and how to just maybe issues that might come up or something. So I'm on page 4 in the teacher's handbook, the introductory lesson, the priority of personal integrity. So I got to get my Bible and here, I'll put it up in the All right, so I'm going to go to Proverbs. So the Proverbs theme is, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. So first thing I'm going to do is just pray for the lesson, and then pray that God would teach both me and the hearers as well.
Is that all?
Okay, sure. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to teach, and I pray that you just bless the message, Lord, and just empty me of opinions and things, and I pray that you just fill me with your truth, and that I would speak truths from your word only, Lord. And I pray for, pray for these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so this is a new study series on character. For the next few weeks in our church, we're going to study 16 characteristics of being a godly Christian.
Amen.
So that's going to... It's already challenging me already. I'm just thinking about going, oh, seeing the holes in my character. And I haven't been saved. I'm not a veteran like some of the elders in the church, but I still see what areas in my life where I need to grow and where God has taken me also and changed me. So I'm excited about this this study. And I do see in modern Christianity where there's a lot of lack. I mean, there's a lot of compromise. In churches, not only well, maybe it's down to character, but you can see the fruits of it then with compromising on the Bible that they would use, on the type of preaching they want to hear, just having itching ears, just want to heap to themselves teachers, just not doing things the Bible way only, and just letting the flesh get in the way. So this is important. So the first part is the meaning of integrity in Christian character. So Brother Dan, would you be able to read 8?
Yes, integrity is a very unusual word. It means a moral framework of blank of what you allow yourself to do. It is a pureness in your heart towards others. So,
it's a moral framework of limits to fill in, is there?
Limits. Oh, I see. Limits.
So, I guess, like I was saying last time, it's just like having morals or having laws even in society or whatever. It's just limits. Like, it just, there's certain things that just aren't allowed, certain things that just can't happen, and if we have a moral framework of limits, it'll help us. And that's where character begins, and obviously integrity begins with God and God's rules and having them first, and not our own opinions, our own, because everyone has different opinions about what's right or wrong, but God's opinions his commandments are absolute, so we can just take them as the gospel truth, as people would say.
So limits could keep you in a safe place. You can't get out, but limits also can keep you from getting into something you shouldn't be into. I think of a police line. They put up a barrier tape.
Yeah.
You can't go in there. You're not allowed in there. That's a limit, right?
Right.
So that's good.
All right. So I read B, I guess. Character and integrity are the same thing. They are the foundation of a person's life that holds them up under pressure and during the storms of life. So, just when I was reading this up or whatever, there's a few extra things to say. If there's no character in a person, you find them lying for almost no reason. You find them doing things, you know, I think of, it says in Romans, though, without with the law came sin or whatever. So without the law, there was no such thing as sin. And if we have no moral boundaries, no moral limits, then we could just do what we want. You know, we can live for the weekend, and you know, there's no reason why I should be diligent at work and come in on time and not, you know, not waste the boss's time and money. There's no reason why I should be faithful to, or even wait until marriage for seeking a girl, or there's no reason why I should even seek God, really. I mean, if there's no morals whatsoever, then I just do whatever is right in my own eyes, like they did in the Old Testament.
Yeah, I was thinking of Judges,
so, and then we all know that did not work out.
It didn't work as right.
The second point here is a weak character in a Christian is a mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ. who was always faithful. Mm. And he's a solid foundation we should build upon our lives upon. I was thinking about that, and Romans 7, the things that I would, those things I do not, you know, and the things that I know that are wrong, whatever those things I end up doing. I mean, we still have a sin nature, but, you know, as we look on to Jesus, as we draw nigh unto him, we're going to, our character is going to get stronger, you know, and mm-hmm. having a weak character and not having a heart to build character is a mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is ungratefulness for what he's done in my life and what he wants to do in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just thinking about that. A person's talents or abilities may take them far, but they'll eventually fall to the level of their character. That was that's another amazing point. I mean, I was just thinking about all these things. Talent can give you opportunities and doors open and stuff like that. You might strike someone's fancy in getting a job or whatever. You might have this flair or something like that, but you won't keep your job. You won't, like a basketball player won't become a great basketball player, even if he's got all the foundations, unless he's disciplined. Like a soccer player or whatever, they always say this next person is the next Pele or whatever, in soccer, or I'm sure you have that in American sports.
Yeah. Well, I think of how sports idols are held up as like idols, these sports figures, but their lives are terrible.
Right.
They're like, they make all this money because they can do certain, they have great talent in sports, but their heart, their character is terrible. Mm. I think of the music industry, all these, they got great talent, but they have no character. Mm. And I know someone once said that character is what God sees, and reputation is what man sees.
Mm.
You can have a good reputation, but terrible character.
Right.
If you have good character, you should have a good reputation, but, so...
Character before reputation.
Yeah. You know, the idea that just having talents does not mean you have character.
Man, right. Yeah. That's one of the points here. It says, never mistake your talents or abilities for character.
Yeah.
Character, integrity, and principles will take you farther and keep you there.
Right.
More than talent and ability alone. Therefore, allow God to develop character in your life. So, there's a few quotes here. Do you have those on yours?
No.
Some quotes on character and integrity.
Under B? Is this under B?
Under C, actually.
Under C.
The Bible is not given to...
I do have a couple, yeah.
Sure.
The Bible is not given to increase our knowledge, but to... blank our lives.
To change our lives.
Oh, to change our lives,
Give us character.
Right.
So, knowledge puff it up, but the Bible is a two-edged sword, and it's going to pierce and convict us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're not just doing that for knowledge, going, the Bible says, be filled with this, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's not just saying that just for us to go, that's great. We have to act upon it, and God wants us to make a decision and to align ourselves and to change our ways from our ways to His ways. The second one I'll read, that be more concerned about your character than your reputation. I think you were saying that just a minute ago.
Yeah, okay.
Your character is who you really are.
So people are going to fill
in. So your filling is a reputation, and your character is who you really are. Your reputation is who others think you are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's a couple of other quotes where people say, I forget now about your reputation. Reputation is just what others think that a person is, but their character is what they're like when no one else is around, or when they're at home, and or when their guard is down. Do you want to read the next one, number three?
If we value comfort more than character, the trials will always blank us,
bother us.
Yeah,
that's an interesting one.
Yeah.
I guess when James says to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations.
Right.
And I guess if we see our trials as one, building character in us, and two, God working in us, or whatever, God having a purpose for His glory, then it makes it okay. It gives us a purpose, it gives us a reason to be in that trial, and a cause to rejoice. So but if we always bow out, if we don't let patience have our perfect work, then we'll never reach that state of having character in that area, and we'll always be wanting in that area, as the Bible says. Okay. The test of a man's character is what it takes to stop him. That's what Bart Jones Sr. says. So, yeah, that's a hard one. I mean, I was just listening this morning. Paul says that he wishes he could be accursed from Christ. That his brethren according to the flesh, that the Jews might be saved.
Right.
And I don't know what if I could say that. You know, you hear lots of illustrations about these guys breaking into a church, you know, over in, like, was it a communist country? And did you know that illustration?
Yeah.
And they said, you know, everyone, you know,
who's a Christian.
What did they say? They said,
Those who
aren't willing to die for Christ, get out right
now. They can leave right now. A lot of them left.
Yeah. And I don't know what, like, you know, and those guys, the Columbine shootings and stuff, and they said there was one girl there, and she had a testimony for Christ where they said, do you love Christ? Do you really trust in him? And she was like, yes, you know, he's my Savior, and they shot her.
Yeah.
And, you know, what would I do if someone had a gun to my head? You know, that's where we find out, you know, do we really love
the Lord? Is it just a facade we're putting up, and or is it really character?
Right.
We really love them. What it takes to stop them.
Right. So number five, then.
Yeah, the conversion of a soul is the miracle of a moment. The manufacture of a saint is the task of a lifetime?
Lifetime, you're
right. Figured that one out. That's good.
Yeah, so salvation is instant, but sanctification is an ongoing process.
Yeah, I think that's why it says about being a preacher or pastor's qualifications is not a novice, you know.
Oh, yes, not a novice.
They easily can fall into the snare of the devil. So a man should be proven. And that just doesn't happen overnight.
Sure,
it takes, takes things to happen in their lives and them to go through some things to, for their character to show what kind of character they have.
Is that in, it speaks of a refining fire, is that in Joel or in one of the end?
Malachi 3:3 talks about he's a refiner. He sits as a refiner. And he's trying to get jewels for his crown.
Amen. Amen. So that does take a lifetime. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. Integrity is keeping my commitment even when the circumstances surrounding my commitment have changed. So sometimes I'm convicted that I need integrity in my prayer. Sometimes the circumstances change and I get a little lukewarm about praying for someone who needs to get saved.
Right.
I'm thinking of a guy in particular, a best friend of them. I'm trying to maintain prayer about, you know, and I just need to maintain integrity there, and just it challenged me to still believe God, you know, even even when he says keep waiting, and not to give up on him because he's faithful to me, you know.
Hey, I think of my own brother. I don't always pray for him. I say I want to, but then I forget. It's like I forget about my own brother.
Wow.
And it's, you know, I don't know that it has as much to do with integrity as just believing God too. I guess it's part of your integrity. I just want him saved. But I got to remember to pray for him all the time. I believe that God's going to save him. You know, it's really having faith that God's going to do something. I want to be a part of the blessing. I don't want to hear that he got saved or somebody came to his house and I hadn't prayed for him in a week or two. Or you know, I want to be a part of that, even though I'm thousands of miles away, probably 5,000 miles away. I can still pray for him. So I want to. I guess that's part of it, you know, keeping my commitment, even when the circumstances have changed. I'm not there even in the States now, so it has changed, but I can still pray for him, I can still call him, so.
Amen. So I guess we're realizing here, I mean, we're talking about various other character traits. One, we're talking about integrity, and we're seeing how, you know, this is the foundation of it, having the need for character, wanting to develop that.
Right.
And then as we go through the other the 16 characteristics, we're actually going to touch on integrity from a different angle.
I wonder if we might look at integrity as the body of the octopus.
Right.
Like, and all the other character traits as the tentacles and the arms that are going out. You know?
An octopus with 16.
Instead of 8.
You get that one?
All right, we'll continue on. I mean, contrary to popular, I would say that, to opinions of many women, there is such thing as a perfect man. A perfect man is someone whose life is governed by integrity. So, you know, some ladies might describe a perfect man as the guy who's strong or suave, or the guy who's got, maybe he's got lots of money and stuff like that, and a lot of girls do believe that. they believe that.
Yeah.
You know, you'd always see a convertible car and there's always a blonde lady sitting in the passenger seat, you know.
Yeah, and he's got and sunglasses on.
The Bible does say that the glory of a young man is his strength.
You're right.
That's
You're
why
right.
I keep going to the gym. So substance, guy to be sensitive or romantic, I guess. Smart, you know, and a top to a guy who's just like, doesn't yeah. have much upstairs, whatever.
Yeah, can't hold a conversation.
Or for stunning, his handsome looks. But, oh, it says here in the notes as well, someone would describe the perfect man as single.
There you go.
That's,
good.
That's just one of the last notes.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good comment. But anyway. So, could you read the second part there? It would be E on your end.
Okay, that God tells us that there are perfect men that are not sinless, but are perfect in their character and integrity. Psalm 37:37.
Yeah. 37. It's digitally turned to Psalm 37 there.
37.
All right, sorry.
Hold on a minute there. I'm getting
I should have.
And it says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace.
Man.
That's good.
You want me to keep him on your camera?
Mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Amen. So, Brother Dan, we'll call you a perfect man, no?
Dude, for the end of that man.
Peace. So it's not the end of that man, it's not going to be a wrath. The end of that man is not going to be unfaithfulness.
And turmoil and
the end of that man is not going to be addiction to things that are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be peace. That's like my life verse there. That would keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed in there because he trusted in me.
Yeah, has an idea of completeness to him, maturity. And
a lot of people are looking for peace nowadays.
Yeah, yeah.
Peace and tranquility.
You won't find it anywhere but in Christ.
Amen. And I'll just read
Job 1:1.
Job 1:1. I think I know it. It was a prophet of man. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. This is God speaking here. And one that feared God and eschewed evil.
Mm.
Man, so he was perfect in his ways and upright. Because he had integrity, and we find out just how much integrity he had in character.
You're right, and I think it all started. I think his whole foundation was in that verse, one that feared God. And because of that, he eschewed evil.
By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil.
Yeah. So, it's good.
Okay.
Amen. Okay, so you're going to go back to right now?
So two examples of Jesus was such a man as well, actually. I finished that sentence there.
Yep.
And all of us should be such.
Hi, Tony.
Jesus is our example. So other examples of integrity. The first one, can you guess it? Somebody in Potiphar's house?
Joseph?
Yeah, so Joseph is your villain there. So Joseph in Potiphar's house, he had... And we're all very familiar with his story, how he was hated by his older brothers, and he had a coat of many colors, and he was sold into slavery for, was it 20 pieces or 30 pieces of silver?
30.
30, yeah, okay. It was the same as Christ's.
Yeah. Life.
Wasn't there one where there was 20? But anyway, that's another point. And then he found
he
favor.
For 20.
20?
I'm almost positive, but I don't know. Maybe it was exactly 30.
Well, we'll find
there
out.
There is somebody else that was sold for 20.
Yeah, okay, yeah. We
better check that, huh?
I'm just curious. So, but then he had, the Lord was with him, the Bible says, and he was soon given authority over all of Potiphar's house, and Potiphar, says the Bible says that Potiphar knew not, he knew nothing of the affairs that were going on in the house. He didn't know how much bread or how many sheep he had or anything like that. He just left it all in Joseph's hand. He had that much trust in him.
Right.
And that ought to be some a character trait that we have.
Somebody would trust us that much.
And obviously, the best example, the one that I hold to the most, is when he was admired by Potiphar's wife, but he kept his character, he kept his integrity, and he said, he told her that the Lord had done many great things for him and had given unto him the whole house of Potiphar's and had only kept back her, his wife, because she was his wife, and that he said, how then can I do this great wickedness, sin against God?
Yep.
And
are you timing yourself?
Yes, sir. And that's the odd integrity we ought to have, you know, when it comes to making a decision. Decision ought to be already made, for one. And two, we ought to just say to ourselves, how then can I do this? God has saved me. God has sent his son. He commended his love towards me. And well, that was the sinner of Christ's life. You know, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against him?
Yeah.
And spit in his face, really, you know. When he's done so much for me and he's been so merciful and compassionate. So that's an example of
taking. Pulled out of his own jacket just to get out of there, you know?
And it's amazing.
It was 20 pieces.
20 pieces of silver. Mm-hmm. All right. So, and a polar opposite of that would be King David. He didn't have the same integrity as Joseph.
He didn't show me a single video.
All right. The second guy is Job.
Job,
under trial. So we were just talking about him a minute ago, actually, so we don't need to belabor the point. But he never blamed God. Job under trial. I even think of David as well, you know, and we find out through both in Job and David's life, through the trials and the tribulations that were brought, just how deep and how solid their foundation, their character was when they went through such difficult times, such, you know, I mean, all his kids died. I mean, that's horrible, you know. I mean, I couldn't imagine. I don't know what I'd do in that situation.
Yeah.
And David as well, just how he trusted the Lord, even though he was out in the wilderness for, like, was it 10 years? Maybe longer. And how he was, he said, you know, like Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him.
Yeah.
And that is character. And that's what we ought to be striving to have. You know?
Amen.
So there's other good examples of integrity as well. And see here, Jesus is the first villain there. When he was bound before Herod and Pilate and the high priest, Jesus never lost his composure and remained submitted to his Father's will throughout the entire ordeal. You know, nevertheless,
under not C, my will, but
thine be done. This is C, Jesus.
Okay, Jesus, yeah.
And Naboth was another guy.
Naboth, oh yeah.
He was going to sell the land that he had for, that was part of his heritage. He wasn't going to sell it, no matter the price.
Right.
And then the same should be true. He actually died for his integrity. But the Lord knows, you know. I mean, he had a lesson there. So we should have some Christian young men and women who will not sell their purity just for some fun. They ought to have integrity there too.
It's funny because they have just the opposite. They had no integrity at all.
Ouch. Yeah. Amen. So the lack of integrity is over, and we've just gone on to that point. This is what we have today, even among Christians, an almost total lack of moral restraint. Mm. People just do as thy will shall be the whole of the law. Isn't that one of those Anton LaVey things or whatever? Do you have A there?
Yes. Mm. Everyone simply does what they want, what they think is good, in their blank blank. So judges.
In their blank. So you should be able to figure this out. I don't have to give you this one. 17 years.
Nice. Oh, yeah, I remember from reading. In their own eyes, good in their own eyes, right?
Yes.
It says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
Mm.
We find that today, don't we?
Yeah, so when there's no integrity in marriage, or someone's just doing what's right in their own eyes, people then end up watching films that they ought not to be watching, rated 18s, and then have pornography on their computers, maybe be talking a little in the wrong way to other men and women that they, you know, if they're married, they shouldn't be unfaithful in that sort of way. Or they might be, I don't know, just not being faithful to their spouses. It says their wives will read romance novels and filthy stories about men and women.
They'll, Bill 1, Bill 8.
Constantly, I know from a men's point of view that the media is always trying to give a guy reasons to be discontent with his wife.
Oh,
and how she doesn't have something that's matching up to the Hollywood idea of a husband or of a man. And I'm sure with the Now magazines and all that gossip magazines that the women will read, they're being led to be discontent about their husbands and how he doesn't care for their feelings and he doesn't bring chocolates and flowers home every day or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's an issue. And we ought to look. Well, if you don't have the Bible, the Bible says, you know, where there's no vision that people perish. I mean, our marriages are going to perish.
No. Christian wife, I know that they should be looking for a leader in their home, really being able to look at their husband and know that he's a man of integrity, and she can look to him for guidance and protection and the love that he's supposed to show towards her. It will be evident. That gives the wife a great sense of security. And we're supposed to be the savior of the home, in a sense, you know, like Christ was the savior of the church.
So if we're going to have Christian character and integrity, just like it says in Proverbs, you know, the husband will have no need of spoil, and neither will the wife.
Right.
They'll be, as you said, if the husband is loving his
wife, make sure
wife,
he drinks
like,
waters
like
out of
Christ
his own sister.
The church.
That's right.
Amen. And he won't be looking elsewhere.
Right. You're absolutely right, and I agree with that. That Amen. Makes a lot of sense that a man will even look at his wife, that her inner beauty, even though your wife is beautiful to you, that even that inner beauty is even more beautiful. Mm-hmm. The virtuous woman is what really draws Amen. The Christian man, or it should be. Mm-hmm. A man with integrity draws him to his wife, Amen. That she has an inner beauty about her.
Amen. Yeah, that's where there's no integrity at work. I think I was talking about this a little already, that people won't lie about how many hours they worked, or workers will only do, if there's no integrity, workers will only do half-hearted jobs, and I've seen that.
Except when the boss is around.
I've only done half-hearted jobs, you know, when I was unsaved, and now I have a reason to have a testimony, or to want to work with all my heart, you know, the Bible says to do whatever your hand find, what you find it to do. Was that saying Ecclesiastes?
Yeah,
do it all thy might.
With all thy might. And you realize
it. Them, everything else should be.
Do you realize? I thought he was talking about. And that you realize that there's somebody watching you. You're not doing it just for men. You're doing it for God, and that comes out of a heart that wants to please the Lord and do what's right. So that He's always watching us, and you're just not a man pleaser.
It's such a great reason to work. I remember I was working on a van job, and I just, you know, I deliver sausage rolls and things and all that kind of stuff, you know, right? And because I was a Christian, I really wanted to do my best, not just impress my boss, but because I was a Christian, because Christ had given me this job.
Oh, it was. Maybe it's different when you drop it in.
I found such a drive to work and to work hard.
When I dropped, when I dragged it,
it was pleasing, you know, when I was tired at the end of the day, and I know I had done my best. I had done my best for Jesus, you know. And my boss really had a lot of trust in me. I felt like a little bit of Joseph's sense, you know.
Right.
And it was great.
If a carpenter will do his best work, come in, build your cabinets and all that, because he wants to. Well, when he leaves, he wants you to go, wow, that guy really likes his job. He really does a good job. So that, you know, is a testimony to him and his work.
Yeah.
Well, for the Christian,
when
you do something on the job and you're a Christian worker, you're not only doing it for the company because it's the right thing to do, but it leaves a good taste in their mouth about Christians who will do the right thing because I'm doing it for the Lord. If I let down, if I don't do it right, then, you know, it leaves a bad testimony of Jesus Christ. So.
And if there's no integrity in government, I'm sure everyone has their 2 pence about that.
And there is none. Boy, if we could just find somebody with some integrity in government.
Amen.
And it seems like even if they have integrity and they get into these positions, that they begin to compromise.
Wow.
And, you know, we thought, you know, President Bush, a man of integrity, believed you. He said that he knew Christ, but there's things that I'm sure he just said, I can't do that. And even though it was probably the right thing to do, I can't do that in that way, or I have to compromise a little there. I wouldn't want to be in that position necessarily, but I would hope that I'd still say, look, this is what's right, and this is what's wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do not see that in government today. Everybody's out for their own self.
The God in the man sees it. I read a quote there about you know, the presidency of America is built upon
It's still talking.
It's built
about
upon them a character of the man who was in office, or whatever. George Washington obviously did a great job.
Well,
that,
I do have a picture.
And that's something how that declined as they moved away from God. He wasn't as important in their lives, and their integrity went right with
it. Where?
Yeah,
right there.
These were men who.
Here it is.
Yeah.
you know, okay. When we go back in American history anyway,
maybe stretch it out.
They loved God, they believed in Jesus Christ, they believed in the Bible, that it was a moral principles of God, and they lived their lives accordingly, so that even when they took office, they just the country was run the same way.
Yeah.
The decisions were made because it's the right thing to do. It doesn't happen anymore.
It doesn't. But we better move on. I suppose we could talk about politics all day. So where there's no integrity in church, and we're just seeing it nowadays, Christians will break promises. Will they be? They'll not be faithful to church no matter what. They'll come and go as they please. You know, like that quote, every time you're missing from church, it's about to close its doors. There'll be people that won't tithe or allow themselves to be put under any pressure from the pastor in any way, especially financially. But Christians will live one way in front of other Christians, another way in front of the world, and that's as common as cornflakes today. But anyway, as we can see in the Bible, there is a Bible example with Ananias and Sapphira, where it is a problem to lie to the whole church, and they're not lying just unto the church; they're lying unto God as well. If you're living that way, we ought to have a consistency in our character,
kind of introduce
in all walks of life. If you know what I mean by that, you know, like not just it's easy to smile and go, "Amen, brother," on a Sunday, and then on a Monday, then what are you saying? What's coming out of your mouth? You know, blessings and cursings or what?
A lot of because the church is that way. Then why is government that way? Why is the society that way? Because we're supposed to be salt and light.
Yeah.
If the church is in decline.
If you fail there, then
then the whole world around you is dark. There's no light. We're supposed to be the light, aren't we?
If Christ is the cornerstone, then there's no cornerstone.
Yeah. But I mean, if Christians are going to compromise in their own church and not even go to church, and it doesn't mean anything to be a Christian anymore.
Good.
And how in the world would we expect,
so
you know, government
the world to be turned upside down?
Exactly.
All right. So the development of integrity. Yeah, we've seen all the issues, but here's how to develop integrity in your life. Firstly, it takes the Bible. The Bible.
Absolutely.
D.L. Moody is he's always quoted: "Sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin."
That's right.
Amen. I love that.
Yeah. I love the idea of having a standard, absolute, never changing. It's the bar. This is what we have to do.
Yeah.
This is where God draws the line, the limits you were talking about.
Right, yeah.
This is it. This is where you go for the principle, the truth.
Every good or perfect gift coming from Father of Lights, coming down from above. So if there's any good character in the world, it's based on the Bible, isn't it, really? So we must look into the Bible to find out how to develop our character. We're not going to find it in a self-help book, or we're not going to find it down at, down at the movie store, are we?
No.
But anyway, so it's the Bible. The Bible is the center of a whole of Christianity. And the second point is that it takes training.
Mm.
So no one's born with character. So training is your fill in there. No one's born with character. We're born. Maybe we might be born with talents or aptitudes or whatever it is, but character is formed, and it's not automatic. And you know, you can see that in like I see that. Obviously, the best example I see of character is in my pastor's family's life, where Pastor Anita really worked hard right from step one to develop character in their children and stuff.
Right.
And you see the fruit of that then with Sharon being like such a godly Christian. She's a blessing to everyone she meets, and now she's going to have like the perfect wedding day, and you know, all this stuff is because character was instilled in her.
Right, and, it's starting their family as Christians, and with Luke, and their marriage. And
she was given a head start by having someone teach her the Bible. You know?
Exactly.
And then God continued to work in her when she had her own, as she grew older. And, that's just a great testimony to me. So it says here, parents begin the process of molding character into their children's life. Proverbs 22:6. I should know that. Is that train up a child in the way that he should go?
Train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it.
Okay. Okay, we'll continue on. Oh yeah, this is a good a point here as well. If you're going to pour concrete, the first thing you do is set the form. Once the form is in place and secure, then you pour the pliable, moldable concrete into the form. If you keep it in the form long enough, it will set up a shape you intended for it to take. If you take the form away too soon, it will take its own form. So I liked that idea, you know, working with concrete and stuff, where you can't you know, you got to leave it set, and then it'll stay the way it is then if you leave it long enough. But if you, you know, like I was saying earlier, if you don't let patients have a perfect work, you know, you sometimes see someone walked in the concrete too early, and there's all these footprints in there, and they're for life. Unless you destroy the concrete.
That is,
you know,
very good.
I like that illustration. And then it just, you know, sometimes we back off from God's work just too soon. You know, he's working on us, and he's trying to pull that thing out of our grip. And we sometimes we might want it, but then we just pull back, and it's just we end up learning that we want it too much, or we haven't really repented fully. Or
someone said it's better to form a character than to reform.
That's a good quote.
How many kids now go into these homes for boys? They've been bad boys, and you know, people going to jail because their character was never formed. They always just did what they wanted to, and obviously they're not saved. But even those who get saved and then just back away from God, and then they have the scars for the rest of their life.
Well, we move along. It takes hard work or diligence.
That's a four-letter word. Work.
Hard work. Yeah, so it means giving priority, zealous, focused, decisive, careful. Diligence is the opposite of casual, haphazard, careless, sloppy, nonchalant. Those words.
I'll tell you, that, as simple as that sounds, hard work and being diligent in things, you talked about just shining shoes. Some people just don't care. They're just not concerned about those peripheral areas of their life. That's because they have no integrity. You know, nothing to draw upon. And everything is just haphazard and casual and, you know,
we want to
undecisive.
Hey,
I find it in teens today. Yeah. They're lazy, slothful, uncaring, undecisive. It's like, they're not hard workers.
Yeah.
I know when I was a young man, you were not going to sit around. Right. And you had your times to play, but when you had your chores to do, you did them.
Right.
It just developed character.
Mm.
We should
be diligent in what we want to do and what we do as well.
Yeah.
What we do for the Lord. I think there's an illustration here. It says, if you go to the hospital for surgery, how careful do you want the surgeon to be with the scalpel when he's... do you want him to be like, oh, we've cut a big hole here, and... well, actually, I made a mistake. We'll have to work you back.
Close, anyway.
Yeah. We left a few gadgets inside you there. We'll have to, you know.
Get that gauze out later.
So we oughtn't be like that. God wants us to do things decently and in order. All right. Well, it takes troubles.
Mm.
And troubles develop character. We better turn to 1 Peter 5.
Yeah.
1 Peter. Oops. 1 Peter. First Peter 5:8-10. Can you read that? First Peter 5:8-10.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you.
Amen.
Good stuff. Troubles.
So troubles do reveal, let's say, firstly, the character that's in you. But, you know, the just man falleth 7 times, yet rise it up again. You got to just keep going. And you want to press towards the mark of the high calling. You want to just stay focused in a race. You know, if you stumble a little, you don't want to give up or whatever. You know, if you go fishing, you don't want to just stop after you reel out the first one. You know, I didn't catch anything, I might as well give up. You know, you want to persevere, and that's another characteristic that we're going to be studying later. So,
you know, the troubles. The verse says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil." We got to realize that we have an adversary.
Right.
So many times, sometimes our troubles are because of our own lack of awareness that we have an adversary out there who's trying to look for ways to get into our lives.
Right.
And you know, the Bible says the prudent man hides himself, but the simple pass on or are punished. So are you taking, you know, due diligence of your life and the things that you're doing, and you might be just opening the door all the time to the devil. And your own troubles, you're bringing on your troubles because of your lack of diligence. You know, I always think of that verse, and I just think, as a roaring lion walketh about, boy, he just seeks prey. He's looking for the weak, the sick, maybe one that's strayed away from the herd, and that's the one he's going to attack. They're looking for easy marks.
Wow.
And the Christian that's not in church is getting weak. is away from the fellowship. A person that's not in their Bible is getting weak because they're not in God's Word. That's the one the devil is looking for.
It shows how important it is to do those simple things that God asks us to do every day, you know, walking with Him. I mean, it would be stupid for me to drive my car to town and just leave the car door open and just walk away and go to town shopping. I mean, that would be stupid. But right. We do that spiritually sometimes, though, like you were saying.
Absolutely. The prudent man hideth himself. You don't put yourself in positions that you can. The flesh is weak, obviously. You don't go and see or put yourself in places and positions and where you know that you might fall. You can't trust the flesh one bit. So the prudent man would hide himself from those situations. Mm. And not allow himself to be in those situations.
That's good.
I think one that comes to mind to me is we need to be very careful about, a man and a woman in a car driving together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Billy Graham marked it down early on in his ministry that he was not going to be alone with a woman in his car except with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So when you put that out there as a conviction, you know, I'm just not going to do that because I know my flesh is weak. There was always God honored that and always found a way that, you know, this person needs a ride, that person needs a ride. Well, my wife can come with me, I can give you a ride. But I'm not going to put myself in a position where, you know, something could happen.
Right, where you're going to be vulnerable.
Exactly, the prudent man hideth himself. Mm. But the simple says, oh yeah, get in, it's only a 10-minute drive. This is the flesh. Mm. You cannot control the flesh. You're supposed to yield to the Spirit of God and walk in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Right.
Well, don't ever trust your flesh.
Amen. All right.
So our troubles, as you said, the simple pass on are punished, and sometimes it might reveal places where we have lack of restraint or our limits aren't developed. And then, as you said, we need to become strong enough to withstand the trouble. And we need to be aware that it's really a war. We need to be training. We need to be, like, I love the illustrations of soldiers where, you know, I gotta know my weapon. I gotta know all the training that's gotta be. Because when I go into war, I mean, I'm not gonna be reading my Marine Corps manual going, what did he say there back there? I gotta be just ready to go, ready to fight. My tools ready, my scripture memorized and meditated upon. You know, I need to have it all done before I go into the battle, you know, so.
Know the enemy, too,
Yeah, before we get into the hot areas of battle, sometimes we are thrown in before, and know the enemy, too.
Yeah.
And his strategies, the wiles of the devil.
That's right, yeah.
All right.
If we went to our Greek, that word is methodia.
Methodia.
Methodical. Methods.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
He's looking, he's planning on how to get into your life.
Ouch.
Stay away from the Greek.
And also the reassurance that the reassurance that it'll make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you.
Mm-hmm.
You know that these things will give you consistency, and the character will develop. Just Christ likeness in you. So, as we have a list here of the ingredients of Christian integrity, I'm not sure how we're doing for time, but
what is? How do you know?
It's just counting down. Remain. I could change the display. Wow, we've been 42 minutes.
Okay, so you really have another...
Do you understand what I'm saying?
What time do we get done?
Okay, so I have 10 minutes to go through these and to ask them
exactly.
About pre-rating
because of
the integrity.
What time do we usually start?
So
we're after 8, 20 after 8. So
yeah.
It's about 50 to 55 minutes. You're right on.
Okay, awesome.
You're right on.
So, ingredients for Christian integrity, the following character traits will be discussed.
Ooh, there's a typo.
Mm. And applied to our lives over the next 4 months. Holiness. Man, this really got me. If you look over to your rate your own integrity level on the next page, do you have that?
No problem. Which means I got a problem now.
our simple definition is, am I pure in heart, temper, and attitudes, and am I free from sinful affections?
Yeah.
I think, what was that Proverbs verse that says, who can say I've made my heart clean from sin?
Who can say I'm pure?
Pure in heart, in heart, temper and attitude, temper.
Yeah.
I mean, this is very all-encompassing, and the Bible says, be ye holy, you know, even as I am holy, remember said?
And, be holy I am holy.
For I am holy. And free from sinful affections, that's the flesh, lusty against the spirit again. And how do you fare in your life, you know what I mean? Just be very honest here, as it says on the top, I mean, and rate yourself on holiness. And we'll do this again after our 16 traits, and maybe you might go down in one, or you might go up one, because you might go down one because you didn't see holiness as comprehensive as it really is, you know,
right.
as you didn't have a true view of it.
Right.
Or you might work up one because now that you've seen the weight, the real weight of what holiness demands, that you'll have implemented that in your life and you'll
right.
see, God says, prove me now, and you'll see the blessings, you'll see improvement, and you'll see where you've been falling, where you need to, as you said, you know, think ahead and be diligent
right.
and, you know, fix yourself.
And So then you would allow them the time to kind of go through this.
Right, yeah.
And then would you end with the summary down here then?
Sure, yeah, I guess
yeah,
I'm going to go over it. And,
so you can pretend like about 5, 6, 7 minutes has passed and then...
Yeah, I was just going to go through and to say faithfulness and talk about
that. Oh, okay.
That. I won't do it now, but that's
yeah.
what this is what I'm going to continue
right.
to do.
Because they should be ticking it off maybe as you go.
Mm, yes.
Remember, it's going to take them a little bit to look at it themselves, but...
Yeah. I was hoping that they'd take it while I was talking about it, and maybe they can search in their own hearts and then
right.
about it, their own consciences. And so then, when you got it all done, then the like, question at the end is, do you think you are not in need of developing or being stronger in any of these points? You know, and where is a real problem for you, and where do you need to be
yeah.
looking out this week especially, even before we learn? I mean, even read ahead and read some of the things and see if you can get some of the fill-ins in on that area that's really... pressing in your life that needs to improve in courage or stewardship or, you know, whatever the Lord is working in your heart about.
Right. right.
And maybe you'll have some good questions on that night then when we study it, you know, if you're looking ahead. Right? So
so we can take these home with us, right? These
sure.
are ours.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
For €2.
Two.
All right, so let's wrap it up. Characters like the foundation of the house, we talked about it already. Most of it's below the surface. Man, look at on the outward appearance, but God, look at on the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? It's not what you can see. The strength of the house is not the vinyl siding or the fiberglass shutters we'd have here.
This
the
is
PVC doors and the pebble dashed outside
yeah.
and all that kind
yeah.
of stuff. And it's not the fancy trim and frills. These things may improve the appearance, but I love that illustration of you know, a criminal who goes to the courtroom. And he puts on a suit and he combs his hair and gels it or whatever he needs
mm-hmm.
to do, and he looks the part on the outside, like he
doesn't
looks
look
just
like
as
a
good as a businessman. And
yeah,
yeah, you know, but there's still sin in his heart. There's still
right
stuff under the surface, you know,
right.
wickedness.
He's
and,
guilty.
Yeah, and it doesn't hide nothing, you know.
Yeah,
and we do it today. I mean, I'm always tempted, you know, to put something on my car or whatever, but that's not going to change the reliability of the engine, or it's not going to stop
the
it from breaking down, or do you know what I mean? So,
yeah
that's it.
It's all fluff.
We like to paint the outside of it.
Yeah.
But Christian character is a superstructure for the Christian life, or of the Christian life. Character is what's below the surface. It's not a person's good looks, talents, abilities, or that makes them a good Christian. It's the character they have built into their life. And we ought to be looking at our own selves and seeing... And looking at our character, our lack of character, and be one, convicted about that,
yeah.
two, hungry and wholeheartedly set in our minds to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to grow in that character area that we're, you know, there everyone has a besetting sin, you preached on that, and,
yeah.
Something that does so easily beset us, and
right.
we need to be extra vigilant, as you were saying, especially on that point. So,
That's
the priority of Christian integrity.
Amen.
Man, that's a tough one.
We're going to get real personal with these as we go into the real every area. So that's
yeah,
good.
Even personally, I just know the studies. It's going to be great. Like, you know, it's going to be tough, but it's going to be good. You know.
Amen.
It cuts and it heals. You know.
Barry, would you pray for us?
Amen. Right, so praise God, and obviously we'll finish in prayer, I guess, you know.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for just a wonderful study, Lord, and just how you teach us, Lord, how you convict us, and how you just work in our hearts, Lord. And I'm just thankful for the mercies and compassions you've had for my lack of character, Lord. And I just pray that you'd, that it would be a lasting burden, Lord, to want to have more character, Lord, and to show us, Lord, thank you for showing us how it affects not only us, but it affects those around us as well, Lord, if we've got solid character, Lord, we'll be a better witness, a stronger light, and we'll be more salty, Lord, as Brother Dan was saying, and we'll just be more effective, Lord, and we'll bear fruit that remains, Lord. So I'm just thankful for that, and I'm thankful for salvation, and I pray that over the next few weeks when we're studying this, that, Lord, that you would really move and work in our hearts, and that we would be changed, Lord, eternally. And I pray for these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.